Have you seen what science has been up to lately? I read last week that a man passed away, I think it was after 2 months, of having a pig's heart. He didn't go very long with a pig's heart. They'll keep trying. We've talked about the cloning of sheep before, Dolly the sheep, and now the cloning of camels for beauty contests. You've seen that. What is science up to? They try to make things that should not be made. You saw the cartoon maybe going around on social media with the horse, and he gets a hip replacement. He's not very happy with it because it comes out to be a zebra leg. They'll keep trying. We kind of think it's funny, but it's really not funny. They're doing things, you know, they've gone from the cloning issue and, you know, just repairing hearts, which is amazing, and surgeries in our family we've heard of recently, which are absolutely amazing and really neat and wonderful things, but they keep on wanting to do better, so they horse around with cloning, and then now they're splitting DNAs, and they're finding these creatures that don't have the right genome in there, so they splice and put something in there. And I just read this morning, we can only bring back what we find. So they're trying to find these dead animals frozen in the ice somewhere with some kind of DNA so they can resurrect them, clone them. You heard the man, there's a gentleman who wants a whole herd of mammoths. Pretty weird. Jeremiah 13:23 says, can the Ethiopian change his skin? Or the leopards his spots? The scientists now would say, well, I think we could do that. But that's not what he's talking about, is it? That's bad to try, but then he says, neither are you able to do good, you who are accustomed to doing evil. We've been talking the last several weeks about something that can't change, and that is the law. It is good. When the scripture said it was weakened by the flesh, it really means it was weakened in our flesh, because of our flesh. This law is not weak. We are weak. And it is weak in us because of our flesh. So Almighty God, who is the great scientist, right? All good science and true science is his. The great creator and recreator says we'll do something about that as well. You know, you think about the evil that's going on in the world right now. I don't know if you've ever really just kind of kept track of Putin over the last 20 years, or at least the last 10 and 12 with his dealings with Obama, and then Trump, and now, and people go, he changed. That guy didn't change. They forget that he took Crimea in 2014, and he was KGB before that, and he rose to power through death, and we can't change unless there is a power greater than a scientist on the planet or some politician. It's interesting because evil can become good by the power of God. What I mean is an evil person can become good by the power of God. There's a righteousness under the law, but it can't be attained except through the power of Jesus Christ. Wretched man that I am, we left off in the end of chapter 7. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Two natures. You have the spirit nature, which is renewed. Not really two natures, one nature, but in a tent of sin. You're in a tent of sin. You have all these memories. You have all these habits. Who's going to deliver us from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Two servants, two ways to serve. You have to choose one, and that's where the power comes in. That's what's changed. So now Paul and God has made this court case from Romans chapter 1 that everybody's under condemnation, even the Jews who tried to live under the law. Romans 1 and 2, 3 and 4. We're all condemned. That word is condemned. Done. No hope. Dead. Whatever the penalty will be. And we know that it is death. We're condemned in Romans chapter 1 through 6. The court case is settled. And yet, chapter 7, who's going to save us from this wretched man that I am? Jesus Christ. That brings us to 8:1. There's no condemnation. Therefore, there is, and I love the word now. There, now, when Don read that, it just like boomed out there. Now, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, did anybody wake up this morning feeling condemned? Or yesterday morning? Or last week? Do you still fight that idea of, you know, I'm just not sure about this? The point of the matter is, the court case with you is closed. The hammer has come down. The judge has decreed, it's a law, his law, that you are free. You have been let out of prison. There's no condemnation for you. You are not headed for any kind of condemnation. And so we say, well, wait a minute. Did you see what happened to me last week? That COVID spell I went through. You know, my broken this and my busted that and my aging this. And we go, I still feel like, you know, yeah, it's feeling because this is a body of death. It is under condemnation. And it's going to be the point here. Paul's going to make the point, like, why would we serve this? This wretched man, this thing that's dying, why would I serve it? It's a dead man walking. There's no use to serve it. I'm going to feed it so I can live and I can do what I need to do, but I'm not going to serve it. There's no condemnation for you. Zero. Believe it every day. So we said the law is good. It didn't become evil. The flesh did. So the particular law, the decrees of God, were never evil. All right? But now there's another law that we are learning of. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life. Stop now. That's a law. It's a decree. It's like God said, let there be light. Let there be this, let there be that. And then when he comes to you, he says, let there be life. You have life. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus, from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Isn't that the strange word down there at the ending? There's no condemnation for you, but he has condemned sin. And by the way, at some point, he's going to condemn death. There will be no more death. How can he do that? Because we say, well, he's God, and he created. And we say he recreated. He brings to birth, he brings to life that which was dead. You have been brought to life. And you say, well, what does that mean? Now you have the power to choose. You have the power to say no. Well, I don't want to say no. Well, that's the problem. Isn't that the problem? It's up here. Paul says, take every thought captive. So God is recreating. He has recreated life in you. You are a new creation. Christ died to overcome death. He owns it. And now he's able to give life. He owns death. The righteous work of God is fulfilled in Christ. The atonement is paid, and that was something we could not do. Jesus did it. Now, Jesus himself tells us this. Luke 11. If I cast out demons, remember the Pharisees were blaming him for casting out these powerful demons, the principalities and powers of the air. You know, the first work in Mark and some other things are dealing with demons because Jesus is out to show us something. So they're blaming him for casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub, an old Philistine god, another name for Satan. And so if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come to you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe, but when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Who is the strong man? The devil. And he's strong. And we have to give him that, right? That's the authority and the place that God gave him. We don't totally understand all that, but there's one thing we just simply need to know. Who created him? Who overpowers Satan? So Jesus, this man, so people say, this man incarnate comes to whip the strong man, comes and beats him and takes people from his palace into his kingdom. That's why there's no condemnation, because Jesus is stronger. He's the strongest. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Lord of life. This is applicable, his strength, to death and condemnation, because he's the stronger man. And he's able to judge. And he says, okay, for you, put your name there. You're not condemned anymore. I've condemned death and I've condemned the sin. You are not condemned. You say, well, I still sin. Yes, but you're not condemned. Your body still sins. And we got to get that under control. We have to work on it. We say, well, we wish that part was over. Listen, folks, when that's over, you're dead. You're in heaven. Now, the word here for flesh is sarcos. It's not a nature. It's the body. It's simply the body. My hands want to do things. My eyes want to see things. My lips want to say things. I know it comes from the brain, right? So it comes from the brain. The thoughts come from the brain. And that's why, again, what the Lord says about the brain, taking every thought captive, Paul will say. But the body is the flesh. And you have the power now and the choice now to control the flesh. You have it. Remember, those without God don't even care. They don't want to see God. They're on the other side. So you really can't condemn them. That's God's job to work with them, okay? We proclaim the word to them, and hopefully they'll find out that there's freedom from sin. But us on the inside of the family of God now can think with our brains and say, wait a minute, there's a new power in my heart and mind. There's a new thought that's come to me. There's a new joy and peace with God, and I want something different. And to be frank with you, that's really the matter. Let me say this. Do you desire the things of God? Do you desire to be right with him? Do you desire to, to know Jesus and to know the Father? Do you desire to see him coming through the clouds? Do you desire for this world to be put away at some point? Maybe not, but you're going to, because it's going to get bad. It's going to get rough. That's what God's trying to say. Let's bring this to an end and desire the good things, the best things. So that's the fight. That's the fight. See, the body's not the morphe. The morphe is the inner being that's been changed. That's where the word morph comes from. You change from the inside. That's why we go back to the now and not yet thing. You're now changed on the inside. The morphe of the body is coming. Wait for it. Some people, even Christians, they don't get that. They say, that's not coming. We're going to be changed on the earth or something strange. They just come up with the strangest things. It's very easy for you and me, isn't it? If you get right down to it. I want to do good, like Paul said, but I can't. So what do I need? Jesus. So he says, and my inner being is made new. Now I need to put on Christ. So let me finish this section, these verses with this. No matter how hard you struggle, no matter how many times you fall, no matter how bad you feel about what has been past and what you work for, if you are in Christ, there's a law. You're not condemned. So get up and try again. Get up and try again. A righteous man falls 7 times and gets back up. Well, wait a minute, he fell. That doesn't make him righteous. Yes, it does. Because God has proclaimed him so. He condemns sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The key word here is this: you walk. You walk. You're in a continual walk. Now, Enoch walked with God. Anybody believe that Enoch was sinless? I don't think Enoch was sinless. But he walked with God. And it pleased God. And what happened to Enoch? The first rapture, he was raptured. He was taken to God because he pleased God by his walk. Do you know that the Father absolutely loves you to see you struggle? Do you realize that? But now, when it says that we don't struggle against flesh and blood, we're talking about other people. But when it says we struggle against principalities and powers, they're the ones that's trying to affect your life. And then Paul says, we struggle not to the point of shedding blood. Jesus did that. But he's not saying don't struggle. He said, get on it. Walk. Get up and walk. I think I'm going to rest here for a while. Get up and walk. With all his power that works within me, Paul would say. So again, I have to say this, that it's not the presence of sin that's been condemned yet. Please hear this. The presence of sin is still in your body. It is condemned. It will be done away with. It has been judged. Okay? The presence of sin in my hands and in my eyes or whatever is going to be done away with someday. But you know yourself, it's still here. This is the Christian life. This is the hard part for some people. Jesus promised me something and it didn't happen. Got to read all of the word. See, he condemned the penalty of sin. He done away with the penalty of sin. There's no penalty for sin for those who are in Christ Jesus. The law no longer condemns you. The good law no longer condemns you. It shouldn't bring shame or guilt unless you sin and the Holy Spirit says, hey, you know, don't do that. We feel bad. That's good. But it should drive us back to him. But there's no continual shame. No guilt. And if you have that, you need to change your mind. You need to read the law of God and rely on the word of God. Instead of shame and guilt, why don't we have enthusiasm and motivation? You know, that, hey, I got up today. You know, there's a new saying, you know, like when somebody, you say, how are you doing today? Well, I got up today. That could mean two things. I got up out of bed and I got back on the fight. I got back on the walk. I'm enthusiastic and motivated to do it. I don't know about you. Sometimes I feel like I'm just going to sit here. I'm tired. And if it's not my sin, it's somebody else's, you know. I'm just tired of it. And then, of course, you know, he condemned the power of sin. He condemned the penalty of sin and the power of sin. There's no penalty for sin in your life. There's no power of sin in your life. The power is in your heart and mind to choose. Sin cannot master you. You say, well, you don't know me. And I feel that way sometimes, but that's a lie. It's a complete lie. Or the word of God is a lie. Which one is it? The sin, the power of sin is gone. You have a choice, and in fact, that comes in your desires. When you start saying, when you start worrying about that, that's a good thing, actually. Because the others on the other side don't worry about those things. They feed the flesh. You and I do not want to feed the flesh. The righteous requirement of the law is fulfilled. You are walking like Enoch did, and you're fulfilling the righteous requirement of the law because Jesus condemned sin. And he's pleased with those who pick up a good fight. How did Enoch walk? What Amos says, how can two walk unless they agree? Now, listen, God's not going to want to agree with us, okay? It's not his job to agree with us. Like, you know, we ask when we go to prayer, say, Lord, would you do this for me? And I think this ought to happen with my son, or this ought to happen here. Can you do that for me? And the Lord's in his holy council going, yeah, we're not doing that. He knows how to say no. It's not his job to agree with us. It's the other way around. We need to agree with him. His law are righteous decrees. So in Ephesians, going back to Ephesians, those who walked in the flesh fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then Paul will go there. He'll say, you formerly walked this way, and now you don't. We don't walk that way anymore. We understand the word, and we love it. Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the Spirit. Now, you've heard it before, all over window homes. Some people are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. And you know, every once in a while, I'll pick on some of those sayings because they just don't make sense when it comes to the Bible. Johnny Cash, who I think ended up in heaven, and toward the end of his life, I think some real changes happened there, but he struggled. That man struggled. And in one of his earlier songs, he writes this, talking to those religious people, you know. Shine in your light, and shine it you should, but you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. What does that make? That doesn't make any sense. Does it? Like, if I'm heavenly minded, and the Bible says love God and love your neighbor, I'm going to do things that I need to do, right? That's heavenly minded. He'll go on to say, you give a drink of water, you do certain things for these people, but you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. I'm doing these things because I am heavenly minded. I'm walking, I get up because I'm heavenly minded. The word there may be so, you know, I still don't even think that fits. We get our minds stuck in heaven. The word here in verse 5, for live, is to be or exist. To live. I exist in either the flesh or the spirit. That is what I do. That's who I am. No, wait a minute. That's not who we want to be. Certain thoughts will come to your head. Certain things will happen. But in general, which one are you? No, I'm square in the scriptures, square with the Bible, square with Jesus Christ, wanting the Holy Spirit to overcome my sins with me, or hopefully for me sometimes. We don't live. We don't exist for the flesh. We exist to feed the Spirit. The next word there is phroneo. It means to set your mind. It means the intent of your mind. It means your mind is shaped by something. It's shaped by the world and the flesh, or it's shaped by the Word of God. That's where you come with a worldview and a life's view. It's shaped by something, and it needs to be shaped by the Word of God. If we're in the flesh, we're dead men walking. We're useless, and there's no reason to feed a dead man. So we exist and we walk with the mind on the Spirit and on His Word. We fix our eyes on not what is seen, but what is unseen. Because when you read this and the Holy Spirit takes you into the heavenly realm, because this is a heavenly word, His Word lasts forever. When you fix your eyes on that, you can no longer be the same. You can't be the same. It's a law. There's the law. This is another decree that those who set their lives on the flesh, those who exist for the flesh, will have minds of the flesh. However, if you want to change your mind, read the Word. Go down by the river, take your coffee, and read and meditate on what it says. It's not the temporal eyes. Remember, Eve saw the tree, Lot saw the land, Judas saw money. And remember Achan and Josh in Joshua chapter 4, he saw the money and the clothing, and they all fell into disaster because of what they saw with their temporal eyes. But we look with our eternal eye. Hebrews 12, let us fix our eyes. Keep on looking on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. You say, I can't see him. Yes, you can. Because Paul even says, he is clearly illustrated as crucified. When Jesus said, when you look on me, you see the Father. And so when you look on the Word, you see him. And we fix our eyes on those things that we read and know and understand. Luke 6 says, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasures produces evil. For out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. Psalm 48, I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, the law is within my heart. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. Behold, I do not seal my lips, as you, O Lord, do know. I have hidden my word in your heart, thy word in my heart, that I might not sin against you, he will later say. John chapter 4, Jesus explained, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. That's when he's standing at the well, and after he's talking to the woman, he gives her water that she'll thirst no more with, you know. After all that's done, what happens? The disciples, who are supposed to know and realize, they come to bring him food. I thought you were hungry and thirsty and wore out from your walk. Boy, he just got fed by feeding the woman, didn't he? My food is do the will of my Father. He existed for that. He still does. And we are too as well. 2 Corinthians 3, it is clear that you are a letter from Christ. Isn't that neat? If you've changed in Christ, there's been a new chapter, and actually just like a new book. Like you got the Old Testament, and then you got the New Testament of Raymond. Sometimes I want to put your names there, but I'm not going to call you out. You just put the Old Testament of whoever you are and the New Testament. Something changed. It's clear that you're a letter from Christ. The result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of the human hearts. You're changed, and you're not condemned. Colossians 3, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. Now that's heavenly minded. You are to set in stone your hearts on those things above. The flesh doesn't want to do this. The flesh doesn't want to take even the time. Like, wait a minute, there's a good show on or whatever it is. There's nothing wrong with doing some of those things. But we set our hearts are driven to please the Lord and to find out what it is to please Him. Your hearts are set on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. If your mind is on the Spirit, God is happy. The Father is happy with you. You say, Lord, I'm struggling here. I am happy. Don't you worry about it. You keep struggling. When you stop struggling, I have a problem. Keep it up. If we have the mind of His Son, which it says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, you know, we have the mind of Christ. If you have the mind of His Son, who do you think's happy? The Father. He's very pleased with that we have a biblical worldview and that we are being transformed, like Paul says, by the renewing of our mind. And again, I'll go back to Charles Stanley. I remember this, I think it's 40 years ago. He used to say, you know, some people start here and some people start here and some people start here. And what he was talking about was the mindset of Christianity you have, the mindset of God, and how tough a life you have, and all that kind of stuff. And some people are just like minus, you know, way down there. And we go, well, how are they going to make it? And he said, by the transforming of your mind. You transform, and when you transform, it goes back to the fruit of the Spirit, where you will walk by the fruit of the Spirit, because you've pleased the Father. I saw an advertisement this last week. It says this: join me for 7 days in the Thinking Like Jesus Challenge. Learn how to not only think like Jesus, but how to turn those thoughts into words, words into action, and to transform your life. And then he made a mistake: in the next 7 days or less. And I went, okay, I know exactly where that's coming from. And if I gave you the name, you would say, well, that makes sense. You're not going to do it in 7 days or less. You're not even going to learn it in 7 days or less. Are you? Anybody here learned it in a week and then just got it all right? You wouldn't be here. You'd be dead. You'd be in heaven. Every one of us can be convinced that this is a lifelong learning and a lifelong walk. And that we need to be reminded again today, I'm not under condemnation. I'm in a fight. And He's given me this fight. Walk according to the Spirit. I got to read this exact thing in Galatians 5. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Just make it real clear. What is it to walk by the Spirit? To read the Word of God and do what it says. Trust and obey. There's no other way. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. There's a war in heaven. There's a war on earth. To those who are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, by the Word, if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Do I need to really announce these? Let me do it anyway. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the things like these. Now, what I've done in my life, and it's not a bad thing to do, is you to make a list of that. It's real easy, just cut and paste out of your Bible. I mean, you know, just copy it and do whatever and say, okay, But what I'd suggest you do is just like put a little number. Put a little number by each one of those. How bad am I there? The higher the number, the worse it is. And it's not going to take long where you're going to find a couple, or hopefully it's not a few, but we're all struggling with stuff. And have your own list. Share it with your own personal partner. Don't tell the whole world. And this is my issue. Did you hear about that person that got my job? I was up for promotion for that job, you know, and we're angry and we're envious. Then it says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, and we all know these, don't we? So what you do is you make a list. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Okay, kindness. A two. These are the ones you want to go higher on, right? Like the other ones you want to go lower on. It's like golf, you know, bring it down. But these you want to go high on. Faithfulness. Well, I can give a five on that one, you know. Self-control. Oh, there you go again. You know. And hide it. Put it away. And come back in a year or two. Where's my numbers on these? I desire to do these. And listen, what's going to happen is Satan's going to tempt you on some of those things. But God is going to test you. And he's going to say, well, let's work on this, guys. You know, faithfulness or his, you know, idolatry or whatever. He knows. We had a conversation here. Every once in a while people say, you're speaking to me this morning. I say this, I don't use a rifle, you know, like I don't look at somebody and say, okay, I'm going to shoot at you. I use a shotgun, like, you know, boom. And if something hits you, that's the Holy Spirit. I don't have that good an aim. The Lord is out to change you and to help you in these things. And how he does it is when you read it across the word drunkenness or whatever, and you put a number on there, and you go, I need to work on these things. I still have work to do. But even when you're doing that, don't get condemned. You're not condemned. You're in a struggle. He says, I warn you, as I've warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there's no law. There's no law. There's no condemnation. He wants you to do it out of love, out of liberty. I'm doing these things because I love my God. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions, its desires. We live by the Spirit. Let us also keep in step with the Spirit. You can tell your kids no. For their safety. You can tell your grandkids no, your dogs. We can tell them no, right? We need to say to ourselves, no. Just say no. Colossians 3:12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And it's like, Raymond, you know, you just gave me love, joy, peace, patience, and now you pile on a few more. Because God's never done with us. He's not done with us. Bearing with one another, if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And in the peace of Christ, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now sometimes, going back to the condemnation thing, sometimes the one thing that we're lacking is understanding the peace of Christ. And here it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. What does that mean? You have peace with God. You have peace with His Son. And He is pleased with you. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. That's the law. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. In fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So, here's the fact. If you have Jesus Christ, if you are walking in Him and love Him, and you've confessed your sins and all those things, Hebrews chapter 4 says we go off, go get past the elementary teaching of all those things. Get past it. And begin working on the peace of God, which again, Hebrews chapter 4 and the whole book is talking about. They didn't enter the rest because they weren't entering the peace of God. They weren't believing that Christ is sufficient. My sins are gone. Well, did you see what I did this morning? Did you hear what I just thought? You know, get over that. Because we all have those struggles. Don't excuse it. Don't let it go. But fight on. Do not give life to your mortal bodies. Let God do that. Don't let your mind, your earthly mind, give life to your mortal bodies. Let the heavenly mind give life to your mortal bodies. Because, see, that's where the power is. The power of the Spirit has given you life to do what you need to do in your mortal bodies. For us not to believe that is unbelief. And God doesn't like that. It does not please Him. Take what He says. Walk out these doors. Get up this morning. And say, I got up again. Lord, we worship You today. We're very grateful, Lord, for the price that You paid on that wonderful cross. Thank You for that, Lord. For every one of us here, we understand the struggle. We know it. And yet, I see a whole group here still walking. They haven't given up, Lord, because You know that they know that You haven't given up on them. They know the eternal word. But we struggle with our own minds, our own bodies. Please help us, Lord. If anybody here feels condemned, feels ashamed, feels guilt, Lord, I pray that the Spirit of the living God will take these words and refresh their heart and make them new. If there's anybody here who has not said, Jesus, I need You and I love You. I'm sorry for my sin. Please save me from this body of flesh. Lord, speak to that person now, we pray. May we all go out of here worshiping and praising Your name because of the peace of Jesus Christ in our hearts. In Your glorious name, amen.